The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, 7:30. Welcome back once again, everybody. And hey, welcome now to something really different. Here's something highly unusual. Here's the feast of the Nativity of John the Baptist. Now, when we have a feast day in the church, like let's say St. Patrick's Day, do you know why we celebrate that on March 17th? Why do we celebrate a feast day on a particular day? It's because that was the day they died. Or really more to the point, that was the day they were born into eternal life. But in all the year, there's three and only three exceptions to that. The day of somebody's birth. You know what those 3 days are? Christmas Day. I hope you knew that one. Okay. Then there's the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then there's today's feast day. The feast of the birth of John the Baptist. And other than Christmas, this is the only day that's such a big deal that it hijacks a Sunday. Okay, so we take all the readings that we would have read this week and we set them aside, and we'll get back to those 3 years later when we finally cycle around to it again. And John the Baptist comes and he camps out for the weekend, right? Because it's such a big deal. Why is it such a big deal? Well, John the Baptist, he was the last and greatest of all the prophets. He was the first and greatest of all the saints. He was the end of the Old Testament. He was the beginning of the New Testament. He was a big deal, but more to the point, the reason why the church does this is because there's something in the message of John the Baptist that we just need to keep hearing again and again and again. But before we get to that, a little bit of trivia for you here this morning, just for fun. Why do we celebrate this feast day on the 24th of June? Why not on the 24th of July? Why not on the 24th of April? Why the 24th of June? Well, you remember the story of the Annunciation? And the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and says, "Will you be the mother of Jesus?" When Gabriel appeared to Mary, one of the things Gabriel said was, "Your cousin Elizabeth is already in her sixth month." Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, right? So you take Christmas Day, December 25th, and you go back precisely 6 months, and you end up with June 24th. How'd that happen? Go explain that one. It's interesting. You know, in the ancient world, when you got to the end of the month, you measured days from the end of the month. So 8 days back from the first of the month is December 25th, and 8 days back from the first of the month is June 24th. A trivia just for fun, right? But there's actually a deeper message to the placement of this feast day. Jesus once said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And isn't it fascinating? When Jesus is born, it's just about the time of year when the daylight returns to the earth and the days get longer and longer and longer. John the Baptist famously said of Jesus that he must increase and I must decrease. And isn't it interesting? We celebrate his birthday just at the time of the year when the days get shorter and shorter and shorter. But let me lead you off this morning with a story, right? Because everybody likes a story. Everybody heard of Aesop's fables? Yes, yes, yes. Everybody knows Aesop's fables. One of Aesop's most famous fables is the grasshopper and the ant. And it goes something like this. Once upon a time, there lived a grasshopper who on a hot summer's day danced about and hopped and chirped when he saw coming along a little ant, straining and laboring and carrying on his back an enormous grain of corn, taking it back to his anthill. And the grasshopper said to the ant, "Why toil and labor on a hot summer's day? Come along with me, let's dance and play." And the ant said back, "I'm storing up food for the winter came, and I recommend you do the same." And the grasshopper said, "Don't toil and labor. Come dance and play and do that work some other day." Well, the winter came and the food was not. The grasshopper starved. The lesson was taught. And he saw that ant with his food full store and wished that he had listened more. Aesop's fables. 2,500 years later, and they still have an important lesson to teach. And of course, the moral of that one is you better prepare while you've got the chance, because the day is coming when the chance is going to be gone. And you know that's true for so many things in life. It's true for education. Remember back in the seminary, the professor telling me, study now, right? You better hit those books now, lest one day you climb into the pulpit only to reveal your empty and vulgar mind. Point made. It's true for the world of finance. Better save up, right? You know, money doesn't grow on trees. You better work at it. It's true for your health. Better eat right. Better exercise. Better listen to the doctor or you'll be sorry. And it's true for your spiritual life as well. Preparation was the whole message of John the Baptist. You could say the whole life of John the Baptist summed up in these words, prepare the way of the Lord. Because the day of reckoning is coming. John the Baptist understood something, and I've tried to say this many times, that the action and the voice of God in this world, it's so easy to miss, honestly. I think God speaks to you 1,000 times in a day, really. 1,000 times in a day, he's trying to get through his message to you, and if you're lucky, you hear 3 or 4 of them. When John the Baptist wanted people to receive the message of the Lord, he did it with one word. His word was repent. That was the message of John the Baptist. Repent. So we're going to take a closer look at that here this morning. Trouble with repentance is that it's got a bad rap. I was in the dentist chair not long ago. And you know how it is when you're in the dentist chair? You're stuck, right? Okay, except it's different with me. I'm stuck with a Roman collar. All right, so the dentist, he's looking at me and he says, "You a Catholic priest?" And I say, "I'm a Catholic priest." And he says, "You know, I got an issue or two with the Catholic Church." And I think, oh, here we go. And he says, "You know, the trouble I don't understand is why is it that all you guys ever talk about is repent and sin and hell? That's the only thing you ever talk about." And I said, "That's not true at all. What if I came back to you and I said, you know the trouble with you dentists? The only thing you ever talk about is cavities." You'd say, "That's not true at all. Dentistry is about health, right? And avoiding cavities, that's just the starting block. The Catholic Church is about holiness. It's about imitating Jesus Christ. It's about becoming who you were born to be. And avoiding sin and repentance, that's just the starting block. But as long as we're talking about the starting block, let's start there, okay? The word that's used in the Bible for repent is metanoiate. And metanoiate literally means change the way you think. You want to repent? Don't white-knuckle it and grit your teeth and force yourself. Change the way you think. First of all, change the way you think about sin. Because everybody thinks of sin, you know, everybody always asks, how far can I go before it becomes a sin? It's this burdensome rule imposed from the outside, probably made up by the church, that keeps us from the good things that we ought to have. And you want to change the way you think about that. Learn to see, first of all, that when the church teaches, it's Jesus Christ who's teaching.
Jesus said to his apostles, "He who hears you hears me." That's why in matters of faith, in matters of morality, we listen to the church the way we listen to our Lord, who's trying to do nothing more than give us our freedom and the fullness of life and joy and eternal life in the life to come. I mean, I mentioned before that I got a friend who flies planes. Took me up in his plane one day. And we're up there, we're several thousand feet up. We're out over the Chesapeake Bay, as it turns out. And suddenly he turns to me and he says, "You fly the plane." And he hands me the controls. What's the first word out of my mouth when he hands me the controls? I say, "Tell me what to do," right? And I did exactly as I was told. Why? Because I wanted to get back home. I wanted to survive through the afternoon. It's not a half bad analogy for your life, you know. You're far from home, and at this moment you are in peril. Because you've got this pesky free will, and you know quite well that you frequently do really stupid things with it. Things that hurt you, things that hurt others, and ultimately imperil your eternal life. Here's your Heavenly Father, trying so hard to get you safely home. Listen to his voice. Change the way you think. That's repentance. But you know what? Just like dentistry is about more than just cavities, repentance is about a heck of a lot more than just changing the way you think about sin. You want to know a big way to change the way you think? Stop thinking of your life as your own personal self-fulfillment project. Your life is not about you. I took an emergency call from St. Matthew's not long ago. You know, sometimes the priest isn't available, and it rolls over to the next parish. So Father Eversole, I don't know where he was, but I went out to way out into the country, and there's this woman, and she's dying. You know, and she emaciated face, she's laying back on her bed, and we start talking about her life. And you know what she said to me? She said, "Father, it's not my life. It's God's life. The whole thing is in his hands." Now that's a soul who's repented. That's a soul who's ready for the kingdom. That's how you were made. How many miseries in life are of your own fabrication? How much unhappiness do you bring down on your own head by thinking, you know, people don't respect me enough. I'm not getting enough attention. I'm not getting enough honor. I'm not getting enough thanks. I'm not getting enough recognition. You've got so many real problems in your life right now. The last thing you need is to add problems of your own making by doing and thinking precisely the opposite of how you were made to think. John the Baptist's whole life pointed beyond himself. He said, "What you suppose me to be, I am not. Look to the one who comes after me. I'm not even worthy to unfasten the sandals on his feet." You were made to give yourself away. You know, put God first, others second, and yourself third if you feel like it, but better yet, to forget yourself altogether. That's the way the saints lived. That's the way you change the way that you think. That's repentance. One of my favorite saints is St. Augustine. Lived in the 300s, 400s AD, bishop, doctor of the church, brilliant light. He's helped me my whole life long. One of the last things St. Augustine wrote in his life, he said, "When I was a young man, I worried about many things. I worried about losing my girlfriend. I worried about losing my job. I worried about losing my money. But now that I am old, the only thing I fear is Jesus Christ passing me by. Solo timeo Jesum Christum transierit." And the reason why the church celebrates the feast of St. John the Baptist is so that Jesus Christ may not pass you by, but that rather by repentance and a change of heart, you'll be ready to meet him. St. John the Baptist once summarized the gospel in the most succinct and perfect way possible. "He must increase and I must decrease." Let's make his prayer our own and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. John the Baptist, pray for us.